What's up, fellow travelers? Welcome to Traversing the Stars. I'm JD Ross, broadcasting from the mothership. Please welcome our special guest today, actress Eli Jane. Eli, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely, thanks for being here. So tell everybody at home a little bit about yourself.
Oh, okay. Well, I currently reside in Southern California. I just moved to Marina Del Rey.
Nice. I'm jealous. It's really cold where I'm at, so I'm sure it's a lot nicer where you're at.
Where are you at?
I'm on East Coast, about as far south in Pennsylvania as you can get.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it gets chilly. Here I'm complaining about, some ocean breeze, and you guys got snow, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like 20 degrees right now, so it's not pleasant.
Really makes you feel alive. That's what I say when you go into the cold weather. You're like, I am alive.
That's a fact. Yes. I'm upset about it, but I'm alive.
I'm grateful to be alive after what I've been through. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I do feel like that, every day is, I don't know. I'm really grateful for
it. Yeah. Love it. Love it. So you're kind of have a little bit of got a lot going on. I was able to do a little bit of research on you. So before you got it, I'm not sure when you got specifically inactive, but you helped launch Von Dutch. Is that true?
Yes.
Awesome. Tell me, how did you get into the fashion world? Or I guess that's fashion, I guess, shoes, fashion, kind of that's fashion. So.
Yeah. Well, I started out modeling and I was pretty successful pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And then I moved out to California and I met a boy. And he just so happened, we met in the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. And then it was just getting off the ground. And so they needed financing. And I had a baby. And I was like, yeah, well, I have some stocks and my mom can help. And, you know, it was a grassroots sort of in your garage type of thing.
Yeah.
So, actually in our apartment. But yeah.
That's awesome. Cause I remember that. Cause I think when I was in high school, that was definitely around the time where all the different kinds of punk brands, were kind of a thing. No Fear, Quicksilver, Von Dutch, they were all sort of in that mix together. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. My baby's dad, Bobby and Bobby Vaughn and I, when I'd first met him, we would go down to Fresh Drive and Quicksilver and they would just give him tons of product because I knew who he was. And I don't know, I was young and it feels like decades ago. So the fact that they were just filming this is just so crazy. My son is 23 now,
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So people are asking me questions how is your son? I have another son. And
yeah, you don't look like you have a 23-year-old son.
Thank you so much. I started young and finished early,
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what all went down as far as with the business? I assume you're not involved with it anymore.
No, not anymore. I actually split pretty quickly. Sorry.
Yeah.
And I went into producing. I was an assistant producer for a major motion picture. And so I had my own kind of success that I went another way, even though I invested all of this money and time. My son's dad went and did something else with it. And I had a complete, my own career. And then I got on drugs and it spun out of control. And I ended up working at a grocery store for a while and taking a big chunk of time off.
Yeah.
Just to, recoup and
refigure everything out.
Yeah, but again, think about this. 23 years ago, that was a long time ago. So people are commenting was this when you were in your meth bender? I'm like, you realize that I'm 42. I am a woman. Your comments are not, I haven't had too many, but still enough to be is this kind of what social media does now? People just say whatever.
They hide behind that screen and then, they're not even talking to a person as much as a concept. So they say that stuff. And they troll, but then it doesn't even really they don't even think about, and if they do, they're assholes. But they most of the time, I assume, don't think of there's another person at the end of that. Even one comment like that would be enough to at least get you so I get that. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it too is they keep asking about my son and, I think it's kind of shocking for him because he was removed from his dad's life pretty early on, and he has a completely different life, and he was raised by a completely different family.
Right.
And so I think what people don't understand is to like bring this all up and include him in this life that he doesn't remember or even know is. And so I had a lot of people asking about that, and I just didn't want to respond because I don't know. I try and stay out of it and respect his privacy and
sure. Yeah. Cause I mean, he didn't ask for that.
It's for here, you know?
And yeah.
If you're really that interested, then they can, I don't know. Maybe I should be more open on social media. I do get the messages. I don't know. I could probably do some lessons.
There's a fine line you got to walk too. Cause like on some level, like addressing, you know, certain things like that is one thing, but like on another level, you also don't necessarily want to feed the trolls. Cause like that just gives them more ammunition. So like, it's like this dance you got to walk of like, you know, how much do you share? How much do you respond? How much do you get pissed off? How much do you let it bring you down? So
I do not respond like hardly at all.
Yeah.
And that's probably why I'm not that big on social. Cause I'm just like, and part of it's probably fear was like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to say something wrong.
I get that.
Oh, like, do you realize I'm 42? Like,
I get it. I'm 35 and I'm like just starting to try to figure like TikTok out. And
I know,
like,
I have TikTok.
I fought it for so long.
I should get it. But
it is fun. I mean, like it's entertaining and it can be fun. There's like there's a lot of creativity you can do with it. So
for sure.
Yeah.
I really love what it's done for the women. Mm-hmm. I just think that they now, I mean, I think about when I started
and yeah.
I had such a small space, you know,
yeah.
Like modeling, you could go to an agency and like these women are creating their own legacy. It's
yeah.
Beautiful and inspiring. I mean, I'm really excited for the next generation of women.
Yeah. Like they just have like this tool that they can just figure, like you just dive in and like what you can do with it is pretty amazing. I mean, you know, my wife is, she's currently like doing a lot of stuff on there, and you're right. Like 20 some years ago, that wasn't even an option. I mean, like we really come kind of far but also like, you know, it's just society's funny, man. Like, you know, like in some ways we've come super far. In some ways I feel like we've gone backwards.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know. I have children, of course. Yeah. So I just like, I'm so enamored the fact that my son can be sitting at home and playing video games and like be talking to his friends or his cousins. Like, I just think that that's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, there's total give and takes in everything.
But you're right. I mean, because like, you know, my partner that I do this podcast with, he lives in a completely different state. You know, we've never even met face to face. So like, you know, we're able to like start entire things digitally and just like, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, it really is. I'm actually really excited. I know. Okay. So here is me looking at the positive side again.
Yeah.
So with acting, I mean, I booked this film called The Way, which is now on, you can get it on Amazon and some of the digital platforms right now. Just came out on the 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the pandemic, I actually went back to school for acting. I'd taken a little break.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to evolve a bit. Speaking, I'd gotten older. And so I went back to school. It kind of forced me to go back to school.
Yeah.
All the online classes, and then I auditioned online.
How did that go?
It went great. I have to tell you. I mean, so you can't really see here, but I'm setting up a studio in my new house.
Yeah.
Everything is, for me, it's, you can save so much more time. You can
literally,
you don't have to run around town and do your auditions.
That's pretty genius. I mean, wow, I hadn't even considered that. Like, as much as we're doing Zoom these days, I hadn't even considered that auditions would be over Zoom like that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so there's a website called We Audition, and you can hire a reader anytime of day because it's all over. And I've hired readers from different countries because they're up, you know, anytime I need. And so I have my phone, my ring light, and then I have a computer over here who's reading. He's reading. He or she is reading with me, and then my phone is recording it. It's amazing. It's just like, I mean, I'm so grateful. I save so much time. And I will tell you, now that I can see myself, I can see some of my tics.
Yeah.
Like I have thing where I open my eyes a lot and it's like, no, and just little things that I would have never learned.
Yeah. I get that, because like through podcasting, I kind of like notice that too. Like when I go back and edit, like I'll notice, like I say the word absolutely a lot more than I thought that I ever would have. Like that's just like one of my weird go-to, like absolutely. Like I don't know if it's just like when I'm in podcast mode, but yeah, I get that. So like, so you would say it's probably more positive to do the digital auditions than it is to do the in-person ones.
I've had a really, really wonderful experience. Like I just had an audition on Saturday where the company is out of Japan and the director or actor is in Michigan.
Wow.
So we were able to Zoom them in from Japan and Michigan and meet. I mean, I can now audition. I mean, so here's the plus and the minus, right?
Yeah.
I can now audition for things in Atlanta, which I did. And I went out to Atlanta.
Yeah. But
then the people from Atlanta can also audition for things in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. So it opens up the talent pool. So again, you know, there's good and there's bad, you know, like, you know, before you were competing with LA, now you're competing with the country, the world. But you know what? The other side of that
point, I'm not quite at that point where it's like, hey, you want to do this job?
Yeah.
There one day, hopefully, I don't know, if I get a string of luck, but not that I'm not grateful for what I already have.
Yeah. Well, I also think though, like, I think that'll also, that'll open up a lot of opportunities for people that may not have had opportunities for that kind of stuff before. Like, you know, somebody just happened to get the genetic, you know, draw that they were born in Iowa and there's nothing going on in the industry in Iowa, but they could put themselves out there. And if they can make themselves stand out, then they're in. So that's pretty cool.
Exactly. And even if you're not auditioning, again, there's social media.
Yeah.
There's outlets for creativity and being a creative. I just love that.
Yeah, I do too. Cause I mean, yeah, like again, I'm part of that. So I get it.
Yeah. I mean, I know my mental state when I'm creating is so much better. It gives me a
big
purpose.
Time. Yeah. Big time. There's like that spark inside. I totally get that. Yeah. Totally with you on that. I love it. Like, I love when I come up, like if I come up with some random idea, like, you know, just like an episode for the podcast or some random TikTok or some nonsense, you know, and then it's like, huh. And then it just starts kind of building and building. And then just like, I get that. I love that feeling.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I did a class with Larry Moss, which I've been trying to study with him for years and years. And I finally did. And I got to study with Larry Moss from my family room. You know, he's in New York. It's just like the possibilities we have for creativity now is just like, I don't know. I think it's, again, so important for society. Even my son playing the games. I think that that's creative.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
I mean, you can be a bad creative. But
You can. But you know what? You got to take the good with the bad. There's, you know, creativity is you plug it in. It's like the theme of this episode. There's the good and there's the bad.
I really like feng shui.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I got a chance to check out your demo reel on IMDb. I got to say, you have outstanding range. I was really impressed by that. That was really cool. But the one thing I did have to ask about, the Training Day TV show, right?
It was.
And you got to, was I right in seeing that you got to work with Bill Paxton with that?
I did, yeah.
Paxton was one of my favorite actors of all time. How was it working with Paxton?
He was really lovely. Yeah, he was really great.
That makes me happy.
Right before he had passed. It was kind of shocking because it was like, you know, when you just work with someone and then the next minute they're gone or you know that person or however it is. And it just reminds you of how short life can be or how quick life can be and to just appreciate it. And you never know.
Yeah.
You know.
That was shocking for me. Like when that happened, because like, I mean, like, I don't think I've ever seen a movie that he's done that's been bad. Like, honestly, like, so, you know, I just like, he's always seemed like he'd be such a down to earth like person. So, you know, it was just really sad when he passed.
Yeah.
So what's been your favorite type of thing? Cause I saw you did a lot of commercials. You did a couple, you know, some TV shows. You went from like, you know, crying mom to like beating the shit out of somebody and then like everywhere in between. So like, what's been your favorite kind of role with that kind of stuff?
For me, my favorite thing to do is mix it up.
Okay.
I just hate being stuck in one thing.
Yeah.
So I try to mix it up as much as I possibly can. I think for my own sanity.
Yeah. It's really
nice, especially when I go from playing a killer.
Yeah.
You know, I ended up, so this last year, I ended up playing a killer. Mm-hmm. And then I played a villain where I ended up, it was like a lifetime. So that's coming out. It's not even on my IMDb yet. But, and then I ended up playing this comedy. And for me, that's like the perfect balance, right?
Yeah.
When you can kind of, you know, because I also don't want to be like, pigeonholed.
Yeah.
Pigeonholed, toad, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Pigeon something. There's a bird involved.
I don't want to be that. Yeah, I do feel really comfortable playing hard-ass roles. I feel really comfortable being the jokester.
Yeah.
I think as a kid, I was the jokester in school because I wasn't very good at school, which is why I didn't end up going to school for acting, because I would, for a long time.
Kind of had that in your head as a stigma.
Yeah, and I had to get over that. So I was a class clown just to, like, be able to survive, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, for sure, I just like balance.
Yeah. So, okay. So which do you prefer then? Do you prefer the hard ass or do you prefer the jokester? Like, which one's your favorite?
I don't have a preference.
Okay. Okay.
I really don't have a preference. Because again, it's, for me, it's the balance. It's like, if I'm sitting there playing this person that's going to kill you all the time, mentally what that ends up, I try to not let it bring it home with me.
Right.
But sometimes, like, if you're studying for a role for a month and then you're on set for a month, you're essentially that character for 2 months.
Right.
It's nice to have a break.
Yeah. Okay. You know, okay. Just to
flip flop it. Although I will say, like, when I was shooting that Lifetime film, I sometimes would deliver things comedically.
Yeah.
It's a drama.
You had to kind of check that at the door. Like, no, we're in a serious situation. Like, we need to
trying to go kill someone. Okay.
Yeah. Accidentally channeling some Joker there a little bit, like laughing while you murder.
Yeah, exactly.
Love it.
I will say, even though I'm a mom, I don't book that many mom roles, although I would really like to start.
Yeah.
Because that's who I am at my core.
Right.
I've had two kids. They're 18 and 23, and that's really a huge part of my life.
Yeah, absolutely. So. I mean, yeah, obviously. Like, kids are a pretty big deal, so.
I think I'm also getting to that age where I'm starting to book more mom, some mom commercials. Clearly in the Fighting movie, I was a mom as well.
Right.
So I loved that. I had a lot to draw on for that emotionally.
Yeah.
I think I'm working on my crying and my drama.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm working on my tears. Okay.
That's what do you use to get the tears flowing?
Unfortunately, I generally use things in my life. Yeah. So like the last film where I lost my son, I had to give up custody of my son because of my drug addiction. So I went, there.
Kind of went back into that way back in the day mentality. Yeah.
Exactly. I think there's also tactics too that I use.
Yeah.
Which, you know, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. So I try to get really tired and really lonely.
So you're just become like an absolute peach to be around when you're preparing for this stuff.
Exactly. Right. But I do think too, it's harder for me in auditions to cry than it is for me on set. Cause when you're working so many hours, I always say doing a film is like going to battle.
Yeah.
You find out who you are, what you need to work on. Cause there's just not a lot of sleeping. There's a lot of moving.
Right.
A lot of people. There's a lot of close contact.
You're working off the other actors like in the scene and like kind of everybody's vibing with that.
Yeah. Yeah. You're in a different location.
Yeah.
A lot of times. It's just constant work, 12-hour days.
Yeah.
And if you're on location, you're still, it just,
As and opposed to an audition where you're just talking to somebody that you might not even know that well and trying to get into that moment. I think, I could see where it would be easier to, in the actual filming. for sure.
Yeah. I'm not there yet, but I am working on it. It's just not one of my strengths. I have a tendency to work more with the strong characters, which is fine.
Yeah.
Be a strong female lead. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's kind of a big thing anymore. I mean, I've talked about it on the show before with a couple other guests I've had. I feel like we're kind of having like a societal, I don't even know what to call it, where the badass woman is starting to become more of a common thing than the damsel in distress. So I think I would say that has something at least partially to do with on a societal level too.
I think also just the fact that we have more women producers.
Yeah. Exactly. More opportunities.
We're more sensitive to I don't know, to the roles that we write.
Yeah.
I mean, writing alone, if you're a woman, you're writing for a woman, it's just a little different. And for sure the portrayal is a lot different. So
yeah, absolutely. So what do you got working on now? What's the big, most exciting thing you got going on in the works right now?
Right now, the most exciting things I have in the work, I'm supposed to get the contract, so I hope I don't jinx it. But there's a film in the future. Hopefully, it all works out. But I play a mob wife.
Ooh, okay.
But I'm really excited. Hopefully, I'll still get my contracts.
Okay. So get to channel a little bit of Karen Hill kind of stuff. Some Goodfellas vibes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's awesome. So if you get that one, what are you doing to prepare for that? I mean, there's so much mob media, movies, TV shows, books, what's going to be your go-to to get ready for that mentality?
Well, first I'll wait to see if I get the contracts.
Yeah.
I've done this before where I haven't actually gotten the contracts.
Yeah.
I do all the work.
So we're knocking wood.
So I wait till contracts are signed, and then what I usually do is I have an acting teacher that I will go to, and she's amazing. Mm-hmm. She gives me great direction on who to watch and, for different roles. I'll give her the script and she does because I don't have a whole lot of experience of watching other shows or programs. Mm-hmm. Probably watch The Godfather off the top of my head, but
love the Godfather.
I know that's one of my weaknesses. So yeah. I have somebody else that can help me with that. And then they'll direct me and I'll study characters that are similar. So we'll see.
Okay. Any other details you can give us as far as what's going on with it, or we got to keep that secret for the moment?
That's all at this point in time.
Okay.
I had that audition for the film in Japan. So we'll see if I get that.
Nice.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm always auditioning or, working on something.
Just keeping it moving. Just keeping the wheel turning.
Yeah. I think, again, that's one of the amazing things is that I can sit in my house and audition all the time.
Yeah.
They have these breakdowns on one of the websites where it's actually open castings. So if you just want to work on your craft and potentially get a job, you can do it. It's brand new. You just start doing it.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I hadn't even considered that. I feel like at a certain point in time, I had entertained the idea of, acting, because I've always loved film. I've always, always loved entertainment. So I don't know. That's kind of got me thinking maybe I could maybe do some auditions.
Yeah. I mean, you just kind of need a computer.
I got that.
Maybe I'm making it sound overly easy. It's only been 20 years of my life. But
right. It's this was super simple. I don't understand what everybody's bitching about. I mean, you gotta try to do it to make it happen though, so there is that. So
for sure.
Yeah,
and you gotta want it. I mean, this isn't for the faint of heart, for sure.
Yeah, it's a cutthroat business. It's you definitely gotta you gotta be in it to actually try to make it happen, for sure. And be ready to experience a lot of disappointment.
I remember before I got back in front of the camera after, mm-hmm. I can't remember, but before I got back in front of the camera, I was selling cologne on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, out of my bag, I would carry this bag around and I'd go up to people with, basically, I would take the bag out of my trunk and go up to them, hey, do you want a perfume? And I would hunt people down in the parking lot.
It's the most sketch thing I've ever heard.
I mean, that's why I ended up stopping, because like I remember we went out of town and they, you know, I would get more sales if I wore skirts and high heels. And so I was doing that, and we were always with someone else. But it was just such difficult work. I mean, you know, for me, it was work, you know, it was like a lot on your feet and you're walking around, you're going up to people, strangers. And so I said, you know what, if I can just apply that same work ethic with my career, with my dream and
to what you actually want to do,
then I can achieve it. But it's just like, as an independent contractor, I'm the one that has to do the work. Mm-hmm. No one else is going to be there telling me what to do.
Yeah.
Because the next person that's doing the work is going to get it.
Yep. Or, you know, the next person that knows the right person or whatever, what all of the above, like whoever, somebody gets lucky, they know somebody, they're friends with somebody, you know, you're fighting against all that. So yeah, you gotta, yeah. So everybody at home, if you're listening, this is a lesson in actually doing the work. You gotta do the work.
Yeah. It's like, you know, one of my character defects is like, today I was walking down the sidewalk and I went shorter. I was like, why did I go shorter and cut that car off? Because I'm not wanting to do the work. Just do the work. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not in a hurry. Just in everyday life.
Yeah.
Because if I'm doing it on the street, what am I doing it in my life?
Right.
That's how I feel. You know?
Right. For me, it's like the laundry. Like, you know, it'll end up in a pile. Like, I'll do it later. And later never comes. So I'm like consciously trying to be like, just do the damn thing now. Just fold it, man. Just fold it and get it done. Then it's done.
Take it to fluff and fold.
Is that a thing? I don't know what that is.
I think that's what it's called. Yeah, you just take it to a laundromat. You give them your bags of laundry and they measure it by weight. And then they give it all back, all folded, and ready to go.
Okay, so I must just be in a ridiculous small town, because I don't think we have anything like that here.
look, there might be a fluff and fold.
All right, a fluff and fold. I gotta look for that, because that might save me some time and effort.
Yeah, good fluff and fold.
I love it. So where can everybody find you?
So you can find me at Eli Jane. Let me give you this one. The Eli Jane on Instagram. That's probably the best one for social.
Perfect. All right. So everybody follow her on there. Check out her movies. And thanks for being here. This has been fantastic.